godless sodomites.
Welcome to the Excommunication Station. I am your host, Chaz. I'm joined by Chrissy, and freed from the demon of food poisoning and diarrhea, we've got Donovan today. How are you today, buddy?
I have sitting on a cushion. Exercised the demon.
Well, good, dude, you're looking slim. You're looking good.
I lost 30 pounds.
Yeah, food poisoning is a great way to lose weight before a big thing.
Just eat some bad shrimp. You'll be good.
I never eat shrimp anymore. I'm not going to again. Off the shrimp.
Dude, oh my God. So, look, quick little story. I got food poisoning from Shrimp Alfredo from Great Wolf Lodge.
Great Wolf Lodge.
Yes. And then we had to leave early and everything. And then last night we had Chinese food and Danielle got crab rangoons and I just grabbed one and ate it and realized as I was chewing the seafood taste hit my tongue and I almost fucking just died.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And Danielle's like, they're good, right? And I'm just staring at her white, like pale, like, yeah.
Trying to smile and just white stuff just coming out of the ends of your mouth.
Right.
Oh, I had food poisoning as a kid, and I don't even think it was, and in my mind at the time, I thought it was because I had eaten Triscuits.
Yeah.
And I have not been able to eat, this has been like 30 years now, I haven't eaten a Triscuit since.
I've had
the smell of them, my stomach goes, ooh.
I think I puked once while I was eating Bugles, and I've never been able to eat Bugles again.
I got really bad food poisoning one time after eating teriyaki chicken, but I also had a Monster that day, and so like both of those tastes are forever ruined. Well, Monster, that's fine, but like I can't stand the taste or smell of anything teriyaki.
Oh, I can't stand any energy drink.
I like Red Bull, but that's about it. I like strawberry vomit. Anyway, let's get started today.
We're all healed.
So, to start off today, we're pressed for time. We are going to just do our Patreon today, so let's do Patreon.
All right. So today's Patreon that we're giving a shout out to is Seth S, because Seth, I can't pronounce your last name, and I feel like I'm really going to screw it up.
Yeah, let's not dox anyone either.
Yeah.
Better safe than sorry.
Yeah. So Seth S has been with us for a while now. And
Seth. Gosh, sorry, that was a joke.
Seth. Oh, yeah, no, that's a lie. He's been with us. Anyway, Seth has been with us since June.
Oh, snap.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you, Seth,
we love you, man.
We're terrible.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You guys don't help with these when you do that every time. We're trying to make it better.
Yeah, we are. And you know what? We've almost got everybody.
Oh, okay, good.
Good. We're almost caught up.
Don't subscribe at all because we'll never get to you. That's basically what we're saying.
Yeah, stop it.
Listen, we have two pages of Patreons now.
Oh, nice. And don't forget, if you don't subscribe, God will kill me.
Yes. Do you want to, is you trying to,
do you want me to die?
Suicide by God, Chess? Because you just told them not to subscribe.
I'm just saying Donovan got food poisoning because someone out there was gonna subscribe and then forgot and left their toilet on the back of the toilet left their phone on the back of the toilet. And
I got
sick. Yeah.
I almost died.
Think about this, people. You're killing us. All right. So what
think about that? You forgot to put the lamb's blood over your door. So that's another reason.
Well, I love
what is Seth's biblical avatar?
Seth's biblical avatar is John Mark, often identified with Mark. I believe he's one of the apostles. Let me click the little thing.
Yeah, isn't he the author of Mark?
No, he's John Mark is named in the Acts and Apostles as an assistant accompanying Paul and Barnabas on their missionary journeys. So Barnabas, he's probably he's a yegg.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's probably a homosexual.
Yeah,
but
traditionally he is regarded
Not that that's bad. Yes. I'm not saying yeah, right. it's bad, it but like, mean. Yeah, they cover that up in the Bible. Anyway,
I gotta be
absolutely
me.
Saying it's bad.
I gotta be free.
But yeah, John Mark. So, you know, cuddle buddy of Paul, the
more
woman
like,
hater.
More like Barnabas. John's Mark, if you know what I'm saying.
And then now for the blessing.
The blessing.
So I was deep in prayer with the Lord today. And I was given the discernment that, Seth, recently you were looking for a pen and you couldn't find one. And the Lord told me that with enough faith and a small amount of organization, you will always be able to find a pen as long as you believe. Amen.
I like right. that.
I'm going to yeah. just.
Amen.
I want to jump in for a second and just say that you're starting to tread some dangerous waters, because now you're starting to pick those things that are so easily to actually have happened that they're going to start thinking you're a psychic like John Edwards. And now people are going to start.
You can call me the miracle hoe. I am a descendant of Catherine Coleman.
And if you start feeling convicted or that Chrissy is some kind of prophet, go to patreon.com and please subscribe.
And I'll give you your very own blessing.
And she'll send you a hanky.
with just her kids' germs all over it. Yeah.
Even worse than tuberculosis.
Each of the kids will cough and light their nose in it.
Some boogers and half-eaten Skittles and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There'll be a chicken nugget chewed up on one of them.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, with that, let's do the most important thing, and that is to pray. So hold the hand of the person next to you and bow your head and let Jesus and Catherine Coleman take the wheel.
Different. With both hands uplifted, sing it, I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my Savior. I surrender. As a token of surrender, I surrender. I do, Lord. I do.
I
dig the grave right now. I die this moment. The moving of the Holy Spirit. Worship Him just now. And there was the sound of a mighty rushing wind. The sound of a mighty rushing wind. Somehow we hear the sound of that same mighty rushing wind. I heard, John said, I heard hallelujah sing it.
Mommy's alright, daddy's alright, they just seem a little weird. Surrender, surrender. But don't give yourself away.
When we left Catherine Coleman, she had made it through her two divorce scandals by the skin of her teeth and started a new life in Franklin, Pennsylvania, and had just accomplished her first miracle.
Have you been to these places yet?
No, this is far out west. Oh, okay. No, this is this is like a 5-hour drive for me.
I always forget how big Pennsylvania is.
Yeah,
it's very wide.
Yeah, it's like a five. If you go from point to point, like from the furthest west to furthest east, it's like a 6-hour drive.
Mm-hmm. So it's girthy. is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's very girthy.
It's not
very
big, wide. It's just no, that's girthy.
It's, okay. Well, I mean, depends which way it's laying. If it's laying east to west, it's pretty beefy. Mm-hmm, but if it's laying north to south, it's kind of a chody.
But some people prefer, it depends on the person.
It does. It does. It really does.
Yeah, some people prefer girth.
We still talking about Pennsylvania?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, let's keep going.
Yeah, this was a different type of miracle, though. Catherine didn't lay hands on anyone or send them a prayer cloth. She healed somebody by vibes and just by her message.
Hell yeah.
She not only healed them.
That's what we're doing, guys.
That's what we are doing.
Vibes TikTok, baby.
Yeah. But she also had a vouching of a doctor, which would be very important to her ministry, if it be firsthand or by word of mouth.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
The town was in an... Yeah,
so you mean you could pay off doctors back then, too? Dr. Oz isn't new?
The town was in an uproar about the healing, and the Gospel Tabernacle was packed to hear Catherine speak again. This week, a World War veteran stood up to testify. He had worked at a factory after coming back from the war and had lost almost all of his vision from a factory accident, which kind of sucks. You come back from the war and then you get blasted in the face by like...
Back from the war. He didn't even have the decency to die a hero. He comes back. He takes some woman's factory job. Now he has the audacity to complain because he did it poorly enough to blow his face up.
Mm-hmm.
Misogyny.
I guarantee Jazz is right, though. He's probably sitting there fucking bragging about how he made it out of there without a scratch. He's like, and look at that. Got everything. Ice 2020. Everything's good to go.
And now it's like, dude, don't stick your dick in the acetone container and you won't have these problems.
Catherine, just through her preaching, healed 85% of his seeing in one eye and completely healed the other.
Oh, shit.
Oh. Catherine was the biggest thing in the old coal mining town. She was being hashtag blessed by the Lord with money coming in through her radio and revival ministry from the poor and working class. And the tabernacle was bringing in tons and tons of people. But the money was going to Catherine. And as money does, it ruins relationships.
You know,
subscribe to Patreon.
Yeah,
anyway.
Exactly. But you know, whenever I think of our coal mining towns, that's what I immediately think of is the vast amounts of wealth that they have.
That's what that movie's
about,
right?
Once you collectively bring it together,
Clueless and Coal Miner's Daughter are interchangeable, correct?
Yeah,
I love it. 10% from each person adds up.
Yeah.
Catherine had a contract with the Tabernacle, though. That she would give a certain percentage of her earnings to the tabernacle for its use, which she was not doing.
Oh.
From Catherine's side, the owner of the tabernacle, Michael Mahoney, was a selfish and greedy. From the law's he's the one that's selfish and greedy.
From the projection.
From the law's perspective, Mahoney was in the right. So Mahoney Mahoney barred her from using the tabernacle to preach and sued for her financial mismanagement. And apparently Catherine had shortchanged the tabernacle by $20,000 or $280,000 today.
Trump change.
Really. Did they check the walls? Because I heard.
Oh, God. A high tension period followed, and Catherine countersued to use the tabernacle. Ooh. Mahoney
almost sued you to let me use your church. Jesus would have.
Mahoney padlocked the doors, and Catherine's followers, who were mostly gritty coal, oil, and steel workers, well, they broke the padlocks off the doors.
Hell yeah. We're coming in here to worship Jesus, whether you want it or not.
The judge ruled in favor of Mahoney, but it really didn't matter anymore. Mahoney had an empty building as everyone left the church, and he won in court. Yeah. He won in court, but lost in public opinion, much like O.J. Simpson.
The more you think about that, it's just the person who's bringing most of the people into your church. Yeah, you don't want them there, but they're still bringing the people to your church. You're pushing everyone out, and you're like, I don't like this. And then everyone's finally gone. You're like, all right, peace and quiet. Wait a minute.
The offering bucket is empty. Well, hopefully they could use that building for something else, like housing the poor or opening a Montgomery ward.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever people did back then.
Yeah. Well, if you consider Catherine's followers, they're poor, and for the most part, they put together $10,000 and bought an old roller rink and converted it into the Faith Temple.
Oh, shit.
Temple, tabernacle.
Were they playing, like, roller rink tunes, though? Were they, like, fucking coasting around? Was the chapel right? The hustle ship playing?
The double D Dutch.
The fucking chapel's right in the like center in that little square, the safety square.
Yeah.
No, she's out there skating.
She does, but she jumps up in the middle in the chapel every once in a while, and then she goes out in the crowd with everybody. And then all the you know hurt people are sitting around her in the safety square with her, and then she brings them out into the floor when they can't walk, and then she teaches them to walk and skates with them. And then
I love it. And then, I would watch this TV show.
Oh, what's like Casey song? And the Sunshine Band plays in the background.
Oh, see, I was thinking of George Clinton.
Okay.
Tear the roof off the mother sucker. Tear the roof off the mother sucker. And that's called foreshadowing. Tear the roof off the mother sucker.
And then she gets whipped by like 10 people in the congregation to go around there faster than anybody else.
Yeah. And then everyone's like, she's got the speed of the Lord. We've got a real type of thing going.
But did Catherine... they have a couple skate at the end of this sermon? Because I'm really worried who I'm going to couple skate with this.
Faithfully.
And I don't want to miss a thing.
Catherine still wasn't out of the woods, as Mr. had filed his divorce and it was approved in 1947, like we said last episode. But the public release of all this information, which she was trying to either hide, sidestep, or change, well, this could all do everything that she had just started building. But the sheriff, who had to serve the divorce papers to Catherine, just so happened to be a fan of Catherine's. And the sheriff swore that he would keep it all a secret.
If they end up together, this needs to be a fucking movie.
What a meet cute.
Oh,
right?
Ma'am, I'm sorry to serve your divorce papers, but are you free this evening?
maybe we could go skating? It turns into Happy Gilmore, and like they go to the skate thing, and like he has to shoot a puck in the thing.
Oh, God. Yeah, he drops her off the divorce papers at the rink, and she's like, seems we're already at the perfect date spot.
How about I get you a soft pretzel?
I do declare you are a gentleman.
Let's go meet by the Galaga machine. All this information came out much later when Catherine was too big to fail. So,
Of course it didn't.
Yeah.
By the pussy era.
Well, so you mean this fine, upstanding officer of the law lied?
He didn't lie.
Well, he didn't keep it secret.
I love that we didn't even touch on that because we were all just so okay with it because we're used to it.
I mean, there's other ways that the information could have come out years later.
That somebody got a hold of that cop's diary, probably. His little pink diary with the lock.
Yep. And
no, these became Catherine spelled wrong across it.
Yeah. Mr. Ronnie Coleman.
These are all public records, so I think people just started doing investigating on her and just kind of found it. But but from this point on, Catherine's ministry would grow by leaps and bounds. She opened a satellite church in Youngstown, Ohio. And her close friend and secretary, Maggie Hartner, pleaded with her to expand to Pittsburgh. So she started speaking in Pittsburgh soon after. And both were major metropolises compared to Franklin. Oh. And her radio program moved to Pittsburgh also to reach a bigger audience.
Do you guys know the song Hot Child in the City?
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing in my head while you're talking. Like, doom, 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 doom. Wow, I'm in the big city. It's all happening for Catherine.
Between 1948 and 1950, she was all but being dragged to Pittsburgh, but she was loyal to Franklin. She had already preached a number of packed out revivals at Carnegie Hall by this time, but she said to her congregation, when she asked about moving to the Berg, quote,
No, the roof on Faith Temple literally would have to cave in before I'd believe God wanted me to move to Pittsburgh. She sounds like Julia Child.
She does. Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's like Julia Child had a baby with Mrs. Doubtfire.
Hello.
Yep. That's actually exactly what I was doing. But thank you. I appreciate that.
I got you.
On Thanksgiving 1950, the roof of the old roller rink caved in from a massive snowstorm.
Well, that's fucking prophetic. Wow.
You guys want to try that again or no?
Yeah.
Nope. Now before anyone gets, well, that's fucking prophetic. This was not any normal snowstorm, and it didn't pinpoint Franklin, Pennsylvania. This storm has its own Wikipedia entry.
I bet.
It's called the Great Appalachian Snowstorm or Great Appalachian Storm, 1950.
Who created that Wikipedia page though? Was it her to give it?
It was
more...
me. Oh, it was me to add to my research.
That's how
me credibility.
The truth's out. That's how Chaz makes these stories so fucking long. All these series, the Carmen 8 episodes. He's like, I got you. Let me log into my Wikipedia. Another brother, make him up right now. Second wife, got it.
Oh, I wish it was that easy. So this snowstorm was a cyclone that stretched from well into Canada to North Carolina and from New Jersey to Illinois.
Damn.
It dropped 27 inches of snow in just Pittsburgh, and the max recorded was 57 inches. And the storm lasted a total of 6 days.
Holy shit.
It caused almost $1 billion in damage in today's money. 383 people died, and it set a record up to that time in insurance payouts.
That sounds like the storm of the century.
Yeah, that's what it was called. Yeah. It's ranked as one of the 26 worst snowstorms in the United States of all time, and was one of the first major weather events, God damn you, Donovan, called the storm of the century.
God damn it. I'm sorry. I was making a reference to Stephen King. I wasn't even talking about that. I'll cut
no. Leave it. Leave it.
Yeah.
God damn
it.
God.
Yeah, sorry.
I was going to call you Anton LaNoge. I apologize.
God damn it.
I watched the movie way too much.
It's such a good movie. It's such
Give
a
me
good,
what I
mean,
want, and I will
yeah,
go away.
And I'll go away.
Hey, Chaz, I like your fairy saddle.
My fairy saddle? What are you talking about?
That's the birthmark on the kid's nose.
Oh, is that what it was called?
A fairy saddle, yeah.
I didn't remember that.
Which is, if you think about it, really
it's
gross,
really weird. Yeah,
because
you want a fairy
term.
Just ride in your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone to ride your nose.
I'm just grinding my genitalia right
yeah,
into the
exactly.
bridge of your nose.
Just let me finish and I'll go give me what I want and I will go away.
Just start humming again.
Give me that nostril and I'll go away. So Catherine's roller ring.
That video was what I learned about what an abortion really was.
Oh, God. So Catherine's roller rink wasn't singled out by Jesus as her followers might want to paint it. Franklin could no longer hold her, and by Christmas, Catherine had relocated her ministry to Pittsburgh. Do you guys know what the best thing to do in Pittsburgh?
Move away from Pittsburgh?
God damn it. Pack up and get the fuck out.
Yeah. Ooh, maybe I am prophetic today.
We both are. I even did this century shit.
Oh man!
This is getting really weird. Synchronicities.
It's her image behind you, just giving us these powers.
Oh what yeah, image? Yeah. You didn't see my image?
You don't see Catherine's
I changed
picture?
It.
Look at Catherine. She's
I changed
so
it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's the painting.
Oh,
of her.
All I could see was her neck.
Well, that's heavenly.
I thought you had a spaceman behind you. I'm sorry.
It does look like a spaceman. Yeah, yeah, long. Catherine,
you have a thing for spacemen, huh? Don't ever let him around Buzz Aldrin.
Punch me in the face.
I fucking do it. Don't ask me again.
Catherine made a decision to not have her own official church like Amy Semple McPherson.
Because she's not like her. She's not influenced. Yeah.
She's never even met her. Okay. Yeah.
They even wore her hair. Her hair goes this way and her hair goes that way.
Yeah, she has a side part. I have a middle part.
Fucking duh.
She would always use other people's venues. Like we said last episode, she also broke from the traditional faith healing and didn't have lines. She didn't have prayer cards, and her healing was more in testimony than in acts of miracles on stage or in the crowd.
So it was on the people so coming, right? To like give a testimony? Like,
yeah, basically. Yep.
She
yep.
didn't
yep.
know that she fucking figured it out. She's the best one.
She did.
She and is. She is so smart, because if you think about it, like, okay, she doesn't have a church of her own, so mm-hmm. her overhead cost just went way down, and mm-hmm. I'm sure the churches she's visiting have a bunch of old ladies who are gonna do all the free labor. Yep. And she, you know, this is good,
and she doesn't have to write anything, she doesn't have to prep for like the way that they're gonna do the cards, the way that they're gonna set up the lines, how she's gonna be fed the info. These people are literally walking up to the mic and be like, just being around you made my tummy feel better.
You guys are not wrong. She took Amy's side.
She's just sitting in a fucking chair like, you're goddamn right.
She took Amy's side on the most important part of both of their successes, and that is charismatic Christianity.
Hell yeah.
They took the less savory parts of Pentecostalism, like openly speaking in tongues and rolling around on the floor and running around like an NPC, but kept the liveliness in the message of the Holy Ghost and its powers, but not powers like William Branham talked about, but the healing powers. So no manifestation of squirrels in the woods or right. robin's breasts.
I was thinking about that recently, though, like the point when your parents were like, because I know, Jazz, I think you said your stepdad did this to you at one point where he was just like, I don't believe in faith healing. That's someone pretending to be like mm-hmm. like God, right?
Yeah.
Because that's how my dad was. The mm-hmm. like, looking back at that now, so fucking funny to be like, no, that's too far. Now, sit down and read about how this guy walked on water. And you believe
hear about
this.
The lady who ate the apple and damned us all to hell. But no, you can't be healed, okay?
Right. When, that's so funny when
honestly, Donna, one thing that's really bothered me over the last couple of years is, of course, the church obsession with Paul, mm-hmm. but taking his account as is the same thing as William Branham saying that he met Jesus.
That's true.
You know,
yeah. Paul never met him, right?
No, it's just story. It's just like he said that he did, and it's just like, okay, well, we're just gonna take that as gospel.
But that's the thing. I remember thinking that when I was a kid, like, how is the Bible make sense at all? This is just people saying what God told them to write as far as the Old Testament, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Like, am I wrong? Yeah. Isn't there parts of the Bible where it's just like somebody said God told them to write this specific shit?
Like the Ten yeah. Commandments?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like where, well, it's just, yeah. it's not even like, it's where I'm saying it's like, it's not, well, like
God never wrote any of it. Yeah. Yeah. It's not,
I'm
like,
saying,
it's not,
no,
like God threw,
I know,
it
there's
down
parts,
to earth.
Right. I'm seeing like there's parts of the Bible where it's written where it's like, this is my story, what's happening to me right now. And that kind of thing. Like, you know, but there's also, isn't there parts where it's just like, there's just, that God told me this fable, so I have to write it really quick. You know what I mean? Well, like the way Revelations yeah. worked out and shit like that.
Yeah.
Where it's yes. just like, God told me this, so this is it. Whereas the other parts where it's like, this is an account of a city. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like, a
historical
very
thing as
narrative.
Opposed to a fable. Like that kind mm-hmm. of, like, I hate talking about the Bible.
No, I totally know what you're, I get it. I get what you're saying.
You guys have also read it way more than me. I've read it probably once. I was like, never again.
Well, that's what we're gonna start doing, Donovan. You and I.
No, we should probably. I'm honestly like, I'm like, we should do that on the fucking Patreon. We should read the Bible. I'm not even joking.
No,
let's do
well,
it
now. Now everybody's unsubscribing, so thanks for that.
Nope. No, in a funny way, because I don't fucking remember what goes where. I'm gonna make fun of the whole thing the whole time. Snake, that's a penis.
Oh God. All right.
We'll start with the Book of Job.
Oh, okay. Oh, I already retract this. I'm immediately triggered.
you know, though, you know, Job is not like it's supposed to be a play.
Yeah.
Like that's
yeah,
what I was always, it's
that's
not
the way
like
I was
something
told
that really happened.
But my father's
that's
like,
the thing. Yeah. That, well, no, Donovan, that's the thing is that some churches believe that it was an actual thing that happened. And
right.
some people believe that it was just a parable or
well, that's
just
what I'm saying.
An allegory or whatever.
Right. And yeah, that goes back to what I was saying, where when I was a kid, I would be like, why do they think that's this? And we think it's this. And how do we know for sure? And that's what I'm saying. Those questions would come even so fucking young. And
I was always told that's God's miracle, is I that the 66 books of the Bible were written by man but inspired by God, and that it's and it never contradicts itself or becomes less true, and that itself is a miracle.
I want to,
which is not true at all.
No, it's just what you tell people when you want them to stop asking questions.
I'm going to be very blunt and honest about something I've never said before, but I get scared and uncomfortable talking about the Bible because I know a lot about the Bible, and it makes me feel like it makes me feel so much guilt in a weird, bad way where I'm like, I didn't go through what I went through. You know what I mean? I feel like it invalidates to myself because I don't know that much about the Bible. Like the fears that I had and the nightmares and the anxieties and stuff, they were real. And just because I didn't read the Bible as much, you know, it just fucks with me because I've been told that so many times, like, you don't know the scripture, so you're weren't a true Christian. I was like, bro, I fucking had these anxiety attacks until fucking 17, until 25, you know, like, it sucks. I don't know.
Well, I would recommend Go Home Bible You're Drunk, because it's a very funny way of looking at the Bible.
Okay.
And going over it, and it's by an ex-pastor and a race relations expert or something like that. But yeah, Tori, I forget her last name. Sorry.
Okay. I'm just glad. She's great. I thought you were going to be like a race relations expert. The most mayonnaise white man is our race relations expert.
No. African American woman or black woman. I don't know. She's great though. She's on a couple other podcasts I've listened to. So, but so
I was just saying that because I hope I don't know if there's other people that are like that where they went to churches where like the scripture wasn't the main thing you talked about. Like my church where it was mostly just sermons and shit, had these feelings, but now as an adult, you try to talk about it, and if someone like throws the scripture shit in your face, and they just you just feel like this weird Christian guilt about it still. Yep. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I shouldn't be. I shouldn't be complaining about this because I. It's just it's weird. It's weird.
No, it's all right. You don't have to feel like
I feel
you
really
traumatized
bad
just
about
because
this.
you still experienced church trauma, and just because you weren't reading the Bible while you were getting abused doesn't mean you were any less abused or any less diminished or any less taken advantage of. In fact, I'm a little jealous because my brain has a shit ton of Bible verses in it and they just pop out every so often. And I'm like, get out of here. Fuck you. Like even Spanish Bible verses come into my head from school. I swear to God, it's dumb.
Most
and I wish I didn't have to think
from
about
VeggieTales.
It.
Oh God!
Well,
all right. All right, back on track.
Sorry, guys.
It's all right. Catherine would also use her giant personality to sway the emotional direction of the room. She would jump and shriek in happiness. She would cry and yell out in pain and agony, whatever she needed for the moment. Catherine was mesmerizing and had anyone in earshot eating animal crackers off her belly button in seconds.
What? So I got questions. Was this a movie or was this a documentary that you saw
it was a
on
movie.
The
it
internet?
That was the most expensive documentary I've ever seen, if that's one of those, starring Ben Affleck and Liv Tyler.
Yep. I don't want to close my eyes.
Oh my God, that is from that, huh?
I'm gonna take this little horse's cracker and I'm gonna make him drink out of your water and whole belly button.
So that's cute, right, guys?
Yeah, dumbest part of the movie.
Now I'm gonna go fight this asteroid.
I'm gonna blow it up.
And I'm gonna go tell Bruce Willis I love him like four times. Yeah. And he stares at me in a Bruce Willis face.
And every man is going to cry.
Because their dad did the same thing to them.
Yep.
And then I'm going to do it to my kid.
The key to spreading the message of faith healing was mainly done through magazines. Every major healer had their own magazine or just at least signed on to one. But as a woman, it was a man's game. So instead, Catherine, who had just left a coal mining town and realized the power of listening over reading, and saw the power of radio and eventual television, Catherine would start her own humongous radio show.
Hell
and
yeah.
She would started off by saying, quote,
"Hello there. Have you not
Yep, yep. It's a weird no. It's a weird
hit it again. You got
yeah,
this.
It's
Let's
weird.
go.
Yeah.
I don't know why she worded it this way, but this is what she would say to open up her radio program.
Hello there. And have you been waiting for me?
That is scary as fuck.
Yeah. Imagine waking up and she's sitting on the edge of your bed and then she looks at you in the eyes with her crazy face and says that.
Yep,
and I'm like, I think you have been waiting for me. And then kick her in the mouth.
Yeah. Why is there an and? Hello there. And have you been waiting for me?
I don't get it.
I think it's a power move. Like, oh, hello. I've been here the whole time. What have you been waiting for me? I haven't been waiting for you. I think that's what it is.
Maybe.
Catherine would preach her sermons, but then would add testimonials of healing and miracles, which made her a success. Also, another thing that helped Catherine was that the way the radio worked back then. By law, the radio had to set aside time for public service radio, which included religious programming. This was dominated by Catholics and major denominations like Methodists and left little room for Pentecostals and faith healers.
Oh, boo-hoo.
Yeah. When radio companies realized that they were wasting prime airtime and could sell it, the free programming was sent to the hours where nobody listened and made it tough for those major denominations to switch over to paid programming, leaving the airwaves open for more entertainment and programming like sports and game shows.
Thank goodness.
And like movies and like mostly Stephen King books, like at night when they would turn on the radio and it'd be like a preacher and shit.
Yeah.
At nighttime.
Yeah. Catherine could just buy the best airtime with the offerings from her followers and fulfill the Great Commission, and the benefits were immediate. She could do what the Catholics and Methodists couldn't and be entertaining at the same time.
Oh, shit. Why'd you say that, Chaz? That was so rude.
Are you saying that Catholics and Methodists aren't fun? Have you ever been to a Methodist mixer?
Yes.
There's so much iced tea. Those guys are crazy.
You spark so many something in his eyes.
Mm-hmm. And fairy saddles. Tons of fairy saddles.
Oh, God. From the book God's Generals by Robert Liardin, quote, her radio program was not religious or stuffy. Instead, the program made a person feel as though Catherine Coleman had just dropped by for coffee. She ministered to the... Yeah, she
and
ministered...
Have you been waiting for me?
Clink, like clink, clink. And then you go to the Down Under or whatever it's called and get out.
Australia?
No, where she clink. You ever see Get Out? The movie Get Out?
Oh, yeah. Doi.
Where she...
The sunken place.
Yeah, the sunken place where she clicks the glass.
The Down Under.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know. I forgot what it's called.
You go to Australia? Yeah, men at work together.
I thought, Mike, you cunt. She ministered to the needs, concerns, and hurts of her audience, and her encouragement changed lives. She frequently chuckled, made her listener feel as though they had just had a heart-to-heart talk with her. If she wanted to cry, she cried. If she wanted to sing, she sang.
When was this again?
This was the
1950s, right?
Yeah, so 50s, yeah.
This reminds me of the FDR fireside chats.
Yes, very much so.
So I wonder if she was like picking up from that.
Probably.
That's
a good point.
Hello,
that
is... my fellow Americans. Yeah. I'm okay. Are you?
And have you been waiting for me?
And have you been waiting for me? I'm wearing a dress.
While in Pittsburgh, she started off at Carnegie Hall until she was brought to the First Presbyterian Church of Pittsburgh.
She started off at Carnegie Hall.
Yeah.
A shithole that place is.
I'll just start off here at one of the biggest places in show business.
Yeah, I guess.
She would hold 4-hour services.
Ooh.
Catherine would, boo. Well, you didn't have much to do back then.
I don't care. I'd find something. I didn't have a lot to do at home. I was poor. I'd find something. I'd be bitching to go at 11. I'm like, I'm ready.
Yeah. Even as a kid, it was like, okay, this is 1 hour. You get 1 hour. Then I get
four.
To go.
And then when they did the announcements after, I swear I was ready to start throwing fists.
Yeah, I was like, I made it through all of this. I've eaten all of that butterscotch candy. I have nothing left. If you don't shut up, I'm going to start throwing a tantrum.
I don't care about the new people or your birthdays.
Yeah. And I'm not playing for Ethel.
No.
Fuck her. She stole my chicken recipe.
And I don't want your dry ass donuts down in the basement.
Oh, God. Oh, the choke on. Donuts?
Yes, I did.
No.
Those are so good.
Catherine would start off with a silent prayer, and her assembled and long-term interracial music group would play. Catherine, no matter what was going on, would never sit. If the announcements were being given, there was Catherine, standing, swaying, and always smiling.
Wow.
If her worship leader was singing center stage, Catherine was standing on the stand just off to the side, swaying, singing, and always smiling. If she was visiting another church, she did not sit for anyone.
She was high as fuck.
Yep.
Yeah. This is what, well, this is the, if it's the 50s, this is when doctors were prescribing women methamphetamine all the time. You know, mommy's little helpers. So maybe she couldn't sit down.
Or Quaaludes. There, you were either getting uppers or downers.
Yeah.
She went to the doctor and he was like, you're trying to talk to God. Should do meth about it.
Yeah, that's why she was standing, swaying, and always smiling. She was grinding her. She was grinding her teeth. She was just like
on a third set of dentures this week.
Yeah.
Or they were like, "Did you ever see the movie Wolf of Wall Street?" Now the scene where Leonardo DiCaprio just crawls out of the limo. I'm going to give you some of that.
hell yeah.
She wasn't welcomed by everyone, though. A group of local pastors in Pittsburgh tried to get Catherine out of the town because she had been taking away from their congregations. But the mayor of Pittsburgh stepped in and Catherine rode it out and stayed.
Can I ask?
You don't get in the way of the money.
Nope. She's
fucking with their money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Can I ask the gender of those people? I feel like I know.
A Juilliard-trained pianist named Dino Kartsonakis.
It's Greek, sounds which Greek. I'm 99% sure it is, that it would be
Kartsonakis.
It would be Akis on the end, so Kartsonakis.
Means sheep fucker? Is that what you said?
Oh, yeah. Whoa.
Oh, whoa. Yeah.
Whoa.
Throwing shade at the Greeks.
I've seen Perfect, what is it? Perfect Strangers with Balki and Cousin.
Balki Bartokomus? Yeah. The Dance of Joy.
Dude, did you see that he's going to be in the new fucking Beverly Hills Cop again?
That's awesome.
Serge?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so stoked. Sorry.
Yeah, so this Dino dude joined Catherine's worship team, and his brother-in-law, Paul J. Bartholomew, joined her as an a personal assistant.
Sorry,
those two names you need to remember those two for the end of this story.
The hardest fucking names in the whole thing. Those are the ones we got to remember.
Yep,
it couldn't be like John Stan or like
David you would forget Dinkins. That.
Remember the name Dino Kartsonakis.
Yeah, and Bartholomew.
I forgot it.
That's cool.
Yeah. Eventually, Catherine would have a man named Jimmy McDonald be the lead singer of her worship team. And this was a huge deal because McDonald was black.
Dun, dun, dun.
Catherine wasn't interested in courting herself to the AOG or SBC. Catherine was something called, and I'm going to have terrible with this word. I kept saying it over and over in my head.
I got it for you, buddy. I can help you. I know this one. Ecumenical.
Okay. Ecumenical. That's it. Ecumenical, yeah. Mm-hmm. She believed the body of Christ was one whole despite denominations. She wanted to bring Catholics under the same roof as Pentecostals and Methodists. Now, if you grew up fundamentalist like me, this was fucking heresy.
Like, how dare you want to bring Catholics, those idol worshipers, into the real house of God? Mm-mm.
Yeah,
this is like Irish and English coming together. But to the larger world, it makes sense and is much more accepted to the mainstream, like Billy Graham. I remember trying to explain this to my wife. She's like, so Catholics and Christians are the same, like they believe in the same God, but they're not. I'm just like, I don't have time.
I still don't understand it.
I would love to hear it. I remember my father saying it to me all the time when I was a kid, but he would never explain it either. I said before, he would give my mom so much shit because she grew up Catholic.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, you fucking mud blood.
Well, one of the major things is the Pope. Like, there's no earthly representation of Jesus, which the Catholics believe the Pope is. And then also the exaltation. Yeah, the exaltation of Mary, right. to like almost like a deity. There's things saints. With like being able to, that's yeah, being able to pray to saints and shit like that. There's a lot of things. But
transubstantiation, I think, is also yes. an issue.
Yeah, yeah, there is.
It doesn't really turn into blood when you drink it. That would be weird.
That was the other thing. I grew up Lutheran, which we believe some of the stuff Catholics believe.
Yes,
and I think that's part of it. So I don't
because
know.
It broke off from the Catholic Church, but it still kept some of its.
So that's why this shit gets confusing to me.
Stuff.
They just pick and choose what works for them.
Basically,
I basically look at it as I was in it so young, I was just worried about not going to hell. I just did whatever I was told.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same.
I get you. So Catherine was requested to come speak all over the country by now, but she didn't just fill into a slot of whatever the church regular service was. It was her show, no matter the denomination or traditions. If you want Catherine at your Catholic church, you weren't having the kneel, pray. If she came to a Pentecostal church, there wasn't speaking in tongues or a lively, never-ending worship service. In any service she was running, if she was present, she was running it.
Hell yeah.
If anyone in the congregation spoke in tongues, she would stop the service and address them directly and tell them to stop.
She's a real Mark Wahlberg, man. She's about that business.
Yeah, she's a tyrant. Could you imagine being gibbery jabbery with tongues and the preacher at the
Catherine Coleman? She's like just like not just any pastor. Catherine Coleman.
Please
yeah.
stop. You're making a scene.
Well, she would say she would not say she didn't believe in it. She just said it wouldn't be the time or the place for it.
Mm-hmm.
So
you know, take your gifts of the spirit and do it somewhere else.
Time and place. Oh man, how many times did I hear that as a kid? Your jokes are funny, but there is a time and a place.
There's a time and a place. Oh my god, you just triggered me.
Yeah,
anyway.
I just got so uncomfortable. I don't know if you saw me like wiggling around in my chair. Young lady, there is a time and a place for everything, and this is not it.
Yep.
I think I told the story one of the first episodes we had, but we went to Disney World when I was 13. It was the only big vacation we ever went on.
Mm-hmm.
And my stepfather was trying to film the sunset for some reason. And so I just jumped in front of the camera and you can hear it on the camera. He just like slapped me across the face.
God.
And like you could hear him say, "Charles, there's a time to fool around and there's a time not to fool around."
Yeah.
And I'm like,
Disneyland is definitely the place for seriousness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The happiest place on earth is not the time to fool around.
I just cannot.
Thank
honestly,
you.
I cannot.
I'm sorry.
I cannot.
No, it helped. It really did.
Yeah, that's fucked. Fuck that.
Yeah,
fuck that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck Bob.
Fuck Bob. What about Bob? Fuck Bob.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Right in the ear.
New shirt. What about Bob? Fuck Bob.
I have a shirt that says "Don't hassle me, I'm local" from that movie that he wore around. Whenever I wear it, my wife's like, "It's a what about Bob day?" And I'm like, "I sail. I'm a sailor." Anyway, one of the most underappreciated Bill Murray films.
Absolutely underrated. When he has his goldfish in the jar around his neck.
Oh my god, so
it's
funny.
One of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I feel good. You know how many times I say, "I feel good, I feel great, I feel wonderful." In the early 50s, Catherine was invited by Demo Shikarian.
Oh, wait,
the Kardashians' father's first cousin, to minister to the Full Gospel's Businessmen's Fellowship International. So I'm definitely convinced to do an episode on Demo Shikarian and his many ties to where we are today. So that's
but first we're going to
web.
If any of our listeners are lawyers who want to do some pro bono work to make sure we don't get sued by Kardashian.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah, we're going to have Chaz send you the script.
Yeah. They're related. Now, how am I going to get sued? They're related.
Because the fucking
they're just gonna silence
Kardashians
they're not
going to
sue us. They're just going to pay to bury us.
Yeah, they can pay to bury me.
Yeah, they can. I mean, they can.
I'll
pay
never
me
mention
to
you
up.
Guys again.
Yeah,
10
for
bucks.
Sure.
All right.
No, I mean, they'll silence the podcast in general. They'll start their own shit called the Excommunication Station to bury ours.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Lotions and notebooks.
In August 1952, Catherine hooked up with a man named Rex Hubbard. Hubbard was a pseudo-Pentecostal revival minister who had a popular radio show at the time. Hubbard invited Catherine to come preach. In the early morning before the first meeting was to take place, the police pounded on Hubbard's door at 4 a.m. There were 18,000 people waiting outside the tent to get in at 4 a.m. in the morning. They moved the start time from 11 a.m. to 8 a.m., and Catherine preached until 2:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, so Jesus.
That's 6.5 hours.
You got to work through lunchtime?
Yep.
Yeah. She was eating
a bologna sandwich up there.
While yeah, smiling and moving?
Just coming out, like, all stuck on her teeth and shit.
Yeah. I'm just, like, was there a fried chicken buffet? Or something? Like, what were these people eating?
I don't know, because it was, like, they showed up, like, way early. Mm-hmm. And, like, they probably had missed breakfast at 4 a.m. in the morning. Jesus
Christ.
See, those
people are just, like, high on life, and they're ready to get the fuck out of there to go eat too. So they're just like, yeah, you got it. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, and unless you owned a TV, like very few people did back then, mm-hmm. You really didn't have anything to do. Like, there really wasn't a lot to do. even through the 40s. I mean, unless you were it's bad.
People had a lot of kids back then for a reason, not just workforce, but you know.
Yep.
I saw a video recently about that phrase, where it was like, that phrase has a very dark, like, origin, because it's also about, like, how back in the day, like, women didn't have a say whether or not they could have their kids. So, like, men would just be like, well, we're doing this. So that's also another reason that phrase was invented. So every time I hear that now, since I saw that TikTok last week, I'm like, every time I hear it, I'm like,
just a friendly reminder, folks, marital rape was not a crime in the United States until 1993.
Marital rape is not a crime to about 80% of Christians.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's gross. Hubbard also, Hubbard would also soon open a door for everyone from Catherine Coleman to Joel Osteen, as he would be the first TV evangelist. He would help Oral Roberts get off the ground, but also he would help Catherine. Jesus Christ. Hubbard would sell.
So he liked to prop up Oral?
Yeah. Oral liked to come to town.
Yeah.
Go downtown. Mm-hmm. Hubbard would sell oils, prayer cloth, and pewter nails.
Oh.
Oral and Hubbard. You remember the pewter nails, right? When they were formed into, like, the form of a cross. You get three of them, two to go like this, and one to go down.
Yeah, I thought it was just like a box of building nails. I wasn't thinking necklace.
Well, I think that's what he was selling, just individual nails, like, to represent, like, Christ's death or whatever. But, like, yeah, that's awesome. Weird.
He ran to Home Depot before, and he's like, give me two boxes of your cheapest nails. Awesome, thank you.
Hey, can you guys settle something for me while we're talking about these nails? Is that what 9-inch nails is referring to?
Mm-hmm.
That's was it?
Okay, because that's my dad said I wasn't allowed to listen to them when I was a kid.
That's what I was
told,
too.
But they're Christian.
That's what I was told, too. It's a reference to the crucifixion, and that's...
They're honoring Jesus. Oral and Hubbard right. were two of the first evangelicalists to use begging letters to get money, which got Oral over $12 million in 1969.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you very much for all of these blessings.
For love, 1969. Oral was 69.
As a gift, here's all of my tuberculosis rants. Yeah.
Straight into your coop.
Hubbard also made profited huge from these tactics, bringing in millions of dollars per year. Hubbard had a downfall similar to Roberts. This was something that Catherine detested, though. Mm. She didn't feel that she should have to grovel for money.
Mm.
But Daddy now, always gave me money because I'm Daddy's special little girl.
I think it has to do with her upbringing. I really do.
Right.
Of course.
That kind of
She was given everything, so why should she have to ask? Well, just give it to her.
People were just giving it to her to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's that, Donovan?
I was saying like she's got in her head, like, aren't I good enough to need to be given this? That kind of explains also her intro to her thing, where she's like, have you been waiting for me? Because, like, I'm the best. I deserve your attention.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, by going out to Akron, Ohio, Catherine inadvertently stepped on someone else's turf, a man named Dallas Billington, who was a fundamentalist preacher who didn't approve of a woman preacher, but also that he didn't believe in the healing powers of man. Billington offered $5,000 to anyone who could prove to him that they could be healed through a faith healer.
So he didn't believe in the healing powers of man, but what about women? What about women?
Is this the Lord of the Rings thing?
Yeah.
I am no man.
Yeah. And then she just heals him by chopping his head off.
Hell yeah. Oh,
God.
Catherine went better than cutting off the head.
Catherine went on the radio to retort and claim that she went by his church to confront him, but he wasn't there. She followed it up by playing a testimonial from an old woman who was mute her whole life until Coleman healed her.
I just didn't have a lot to say.
This argument went on via the press and the pulpit for the next month or so. No one came forward to get the $5,000. Billington himself was suffering from a heart illness and said that only God could heal him, and the feud fizzled out with only minor damage done to Catherine.
So was
I like
was
the
he
fact
just...
that I kind of like Dallas in this story.
Right. Yeah,
like I sort of love what he did. I mean, I'm sure he was a dick, because I mean, obviously, but
man, yeah.
Do you think so? He was just bitter because he was probably really like deathly ill and she couldn't fix him for real. Mm-hmm. You can't even do it for real. You would do it to me. Come fix me right now. You can't even do it.
He's like, you rolled up to my church while I was at my cardiology appointment.
Or we would have had words.
Yeah.
I also love that his name sounds like somebody trying to invent like a televangelist. Dallas mm-hmm. Billington.
Yeah. I could see him.
Dollar sign chokewad. Right.
Yeah.
Cowboy hat with Rams horns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're for Jesus.
TV started to grow in the early 1950s, and Catherine wasn't going to miss that train, but she wanted something different than absolute trash that people like Oral Roberts or even Rex Hubbard were throwing at the screen.
Go fuck yourself, Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to attract the average person, and she didn't want to beg for money. She started a weekly TV show called Your Faith in Me. It was filmed out of her
song
Youngstown.
Was done by Randy Newman. Your faith in me. It's about your faith in me. Jesus Christ, he's your best friend. And I'm too. And we go, save your friends.
That was wonderful.
That was great. I loved it.
Yeah.
It was filmed out of her Youngstown and Pittsburgh ministries. The content was different than her counterparts. Her healing ministry was gaining more attention than her salvation or evangelical messages. So she knew she had to pivot to it, but she couldn't do healing on air or have the holy rollers taking the attention.
Mm. Why couldn't she do healing on air?
Well, because you can't prove it. You can't. Yeah. Because yeah. If you show someone on TV getting healed, and then later someone sees that same person that was on TV.
Oh.
Yeah. So you see A.A. Allen, remember his services where he's healing people? Catherine wasn't doing that shit.
God, she's such a businesswoman.
Yeah, she's savvy.
She's like a mafia mom.
She has acumen, business acumen.
She's like, no one's going to go up there and say what I'm going to say because someone might say the wrong thing. I'm only going to be responsible for what I say.
The show would open up with a charismatic worship, no dancing or speaking in tongues, but there would be swaying and raising the hands, something that most America hadn't seen yet.
Mm.
Catherine would be on stage with all men, her subservients,
hell yeah.
And they would always be behind her.
Just like Carmen, she had a big scrim and they were in the behind the screen.
Yep, all doing dances like stomping and shit and big purple jean shorts.
Yes.
While she's out there preaching like Julia Jones.
Yep.
Yeah. Hello. Look at all my subservient men.
And then all you hear is the scuffing and the breathing.
Yeah. Randomly she puts out her feet and somebody comes over and kisses it. She would then pivot from worship to show, which would be testimonial interviews. She would do something crazy. Yeah, she would do something powerful via the Holy Spirit, like call out healings from the audience and have that person come forward, and Catherine would improvise an interview on the spot, and she was a master in not letting anyone take the spotlight, but still kept them in the center of the interview.
I thought you were going to say she would brilliant do improv shit with them.
Oh, yeah. She's just,
now we're going to play scenes from a hat.
Drew Carey, read it off, please.
Welcome back to the sermon where everything's made up and the points don't matter.
Wayne Grady, why are you here? Okay, actually, his name just came out of my mouth without me thinking, but I just need to say again how good that man smells.
Yep.
I bet. He looks like he smells amazing.
Yeah. He does. He hugged me, and I didn't want to let go. I was like,
it's still one of the best
smell of
Chappelle. Hey,
yeah, I'll still say one of the best Chappelle Show sketches. Still,
yeah.
Is Wayne Brady gonna have to cut a bitch? I love it.
I was gonna say something sad, but we'll keep going.
Oh God. Okay. Her message wasn't about her healing power, but of Jesus via salvation. So you get healed if you accept Christ as your savior. She would often have alcoholics who had been saved and healed of their alcoholism.
It's been 15 minutes since I had one. I'm listening to you and Jesus. Now, when do we do when we drink his blood? When's that happen? I'll take 4.
Line them up and knock them down.
Line them up.
I've done a lot of sin and I got to get through the whole bottle.
Although this didn't gain her stardom yet, it gave her a much bigger following and cemented herself into the top tier of Christian voices of the time. In 1954, Catherine started her very own foundation called the Catherine Kuhlman Foundation.
She named it after herself?
Yeah, shocking. Through all this, all her ministries would run, meaning all of the money. Kuhlman gave herself a minimum salary of $25,000 a year from the foundation. Remember Carmen when he did that shit?
Mm-hmm.
He gave himself a modest salary from his foundation to make it look like he wasn't making any money.
Yeah, right. That's what I actually make. What about the rest of it? What would the rest of what? There's nothing else to look at.
Yeah, it's like Donald Trump donating his presidential paychecks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Look here. Don't look at all this shit in China. Just look for it.
Yeah.
Gave 14 grand to the national parks.
His little hands are like your toddler's fingers trying to stop you from looking at the mess they made.
Oh, yeah. 2 years later, she would set up a scholarship fund through Wheaton College, which is important, Wheaton, a little bit. Like, not major through the story, but through her legacy.
Are they an Ivy League?
They're a liberal, I think they're a liberal arts Christian college out of Chicago.
Because I've heard of it before, and I thought it was like a fancier one, but I don't know.
This was the one funded by Will Wheaton, correct?
100%. In 1955, Catherine was diagnosed with an enlarged heart, and she was advised to reduce her schedule and devote more time to rest, which she absolutely did not do. Much like Amy, Catherine lived a lonely life, but she never stopped moving.
You know, I think an enlarged heart, you can get that from taking too much meth.
Very nice. In 1958, Catherine's mother, Emma,
one of the side effects.
Yeah.
Meth make you Emma hot.
Catherine's mother, Emma, died, but luckily she was saved and given the Holy Spirit years before at one of Catherine's revivals.
Hell yeah.
Around this time, the healing revival world was dying. Everyone was tired with the shtick, and more healers were shown to be con men and liars.
What?
Some people... Some people burnt out and faded away. Some of them kept plunging away, and some transitioned. Yeah.
I got to stop. Sorry.
Like Oral Roberts went to Prosperity Gospel,
where most
of the big dogs went. William Branham went inward, but Catherine stayed the course. In 1962, Catherine wrote her first book, I Believe in Miracles.
Since you came along.
You sick thing.
It would go on to be a massive hit and very influential. It wasn't an autobiography, and it wasn't a theological lecture on healing. It was a book of miracles that Catherine was able to be a part of through God and always God. Mm-hmm. It was a testimonial and at the birth of the women's liberation movement, giving a progressive but antithetical version of the movement. Women of influence and periodicals of the time were singing the praises of Catherine and her new book, and it sold over 2 million copies.
So anything? She kind of wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Yes. Yeah, it was a bunch of people giving their test, or she authorizing their, or writing their testimonials through her book and what she was able to do through them.
She got other people to write her book for her. She got other people to run her program and her churches for her. Mm-hmm. So, like, she didn't have to write scripts. She just kind of, good for her. Did she, like, that's a hustle.
Did she just make up the testimonials, maybe?
No. Because that was, though, she was very, I mean,
thorough with, like,
very, pretty thorough for a faith healer. Okay. For, you know, not as thorough as she should be, but.
Didn't check if Mister was married.
Very true.
She fucking knew.
Yeah.
I do think she knew.
Catherine's kept growing her ministry week after week while preaching in Pittsburgh, weekly when possible. She built her ministry on loyalty, and she was loyal to those who gave it to her, even the city, but the bright lights of Los Angeles came calling.
So, but her book got like pulled up in like the zeitgeist of everything too, mm-hmm. is what you're saying. So like it mm-hmm. wasn't just in the Christian world. It got
yep.
pulled You'll into the see. Mainstream yep. because of what everything was going, like the what the world yep. was going through and stuff.
And I'm just saying, loyalty aside, Pittsburgh versus Los Angeles. LA wins.
I gotta live in Pittsburgh.
I no. Especially back then. No. LA is awesome.
The Steelers were winning Super Bowls.
I just want a place to live. That's all I want.
after years and years of taking requests to come to California to preach, in 1965, she finally did. She held her first service in Pasadena at the Pasadena Convention Center.
That place is huge.
But by her third meeting, she had moved to the Shrine Auditorium.
Whoa, okay. These are big venues.
Yeah. From then on, Catherine traveled back and forth from Pittsburgh to Los Angeles at least once a month, and she had a monthly service at the Shrine.
So what was the travel time like back then? So it was like a 6-day carriage ride to get in between?
Come on, flights weren't that long back then. They weren't traveling at like 40 miles an hour. They had to get off the ground somehow. In 1966, Catherine would change the game of the still young televangelist world. She already tried her hand at TV, but this time it was in color, right when it became widely available and popular in the mid-60s. Catherine wasn't made for black and white TV. Her red hair, bright lipstick, and beautiful dresses weren't made to be muted.
Listen, B, if Lucille Ball could make it work on black and white, she could have too. She just didn't want to.
Very true. Catherine also didn't do what people like Oral Roberts were doing, and that was basically rebroadcasting their sermons and tent revivals. She thought that was boring and knew it could be something bigger. I Believe in Miracles was filmed in Los Angeles for 2 days a month when Catherine was in town for her Shrine meetings. She would fly into LA on Wednesday or Thursday, film 4 half-hour episodes on Thursday, another few on Friday, and then preach at the Shrine and then fly back to Pittsburgh. This was once a month.
This lady.
So, she does sound crazy.
Lonely. That sounds lonely.
Yep. And as we close out this episode, we're going to go into this really quick. Her music team would play the hymn, He Touched Me. Oh. Go ahead, guys. Get your laughs out.
Oh, it's a beautiful one. It's a beautiful, beautiful song.
I'm trying to be more adult.
I was trying not to laugh, but I can't.
Yeah. I can't.
He touched me.
Is it sung to the tune of He Kissed Me? That old doo-wop song. Yeah.
And in yellow, a Days of Our Lives lettering, I Believe in Miracles came onto the screen over beautiful floral arrangements.
God touched my butt.
He stuck a finger in. He stuck a finger in.
And he didn't even warn me first.
He went in dry, and I asked him why. He said, "Don't you question me, son."
The camera would zoom in on Catherine, and she gave her famous catchphrase, like, quote,
"I believe in miracles."
And followed it up with something cheesy like, quote,
"With every atom of my being."
Or,
"Because I believe in God."
Or worse yet,
"You were waiting for me to say that, weren't you?"
Or the classic,
"Were you waiting for me?"
That is the fucking best.
She would then launch into a passionate, powerful sermon, which she would cry. She would yell or laugh or cry out. But you would always felt like she was directly talking to you. I even felt it watching some of her videos, and I totally get it.
Yeah, you lonely, lonely boy. It's like listening to a podcast.
Off. Why are your pants off while you're watching Catherine Kuhlman videos and you're crying?
She gets me. Okay. She gets me.
Hashtag she gets us. Hashtag she gets us.
Something else that made her different was that this was a talk show. Much like her book and former show, she would build her ministry on the words of others and their testimonials.
Oh.
She would sit in a wicker chair with her guest or stand side by side with them, from everyday people to celebrities, and interview them.
No fucking way. So
she's finally sitting down.
Oh, yeah. But here and there with interviews.
It's like Ellen, and she brought like Pat Robertson on and shit like that. And they were just like, and she would scare them. She's like, "I heard you don't like clowns." He's like, "Don't you fucking scare me with the clown, Kathy. I am playing these games with you."
Catherine never asked for money. She didn't have to. The money flowed in regardless.
Because she's daddy's special girl.
Mm-hmm.
I'm daddy's special girl. Where's my fucking money?
I don't know how to respond to that other than to just say, I love you, man.
It's okay. No response needed. I'm just venting.
She found asking for money was gross, unlike her male counterparts. She would offer anyone who wanted one of her booklets of Catherine's for free. Just send a self-addressed stamped envelope to her ministry and you would get this book.
I Believe in Miracles book?
You would get a pamphlet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You also get on the very profitable mailing list. Ooh. It was a major avenue of finances for her foundation, which everything ran out of. So you wouldn't be asked for money, but you'd be getting these things in the mail. And like just like you would give to any other ministry, why don't you give to this one? So her show ran from 1966 to 1976.
What the fuck? I've never heard of this one in my life. That's so crazy. 10 years and she even had a talk show.
Yep. It was the talk show. That's what the show was. It was part sermon, part talk show. So she would have her opening monologue. She would go sit with someone. If you like Johnny Carson.
That's so weird.
Someone comes,
the way they work is someone would come to a sermon and she'd watch, and then if she waved you over to the couch, then you did a good job.
This show was seen by millions of Americans each week and became one of the longest running TV shows at the time. The only thing she didn't have, which other TV evangelists would add to her discovered dynamic, would be a live studio audience like the Bakers on PTL, but everyone from Robert Tilton to Pat Robertson stole her format, and Catherine Kuhlman was the mother and birthed us the television evangelist.
Holy shit.
She's the mother of televangelists.
Yep. And that's where we're going to leave it today, guys.
I would be embarrassed of my children if I was the mother of televangelists. I always tell them, I will love you no matter what. But don't become a televangelist, son.
grow up to be the governor of Oklahoma, just not the televangelist.
Fine. No, they're not going into politics either. Sorry. No,
she had standards, man. If they would have at least stuck to some of these standards, it would have been it'd be a little bit more okay. I mean, it still sucks.
So how do you guys feel today after all this?
Super silly.
Okay, cool.
That's all. I just feel super silly about it because, like, if you think about it too hard, you're like, you start thinking, seeing like how all these horrible spiders come together to make this giant web to steal money from poor people. And it makes me feel sad. So I'm choosing to just be silly about it. And, you know, she is
silly.
Yeah.
Like she's creepy silly. Watch the videos. It really does look, it's really unhinged. The older she gets. Does she
have like a Gwen Shamblin situation where it's just getting more and more cartoonish with the looks, but nobody will tell her?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she looks more like the Crypt Keeper as it keeps going on. So it's just like, ugh. But she always still has the same smile and like this cackling voice. And it's very off-putting. But people loved it for some reason. I don't know. All right. Donovan, how do you feel?
Yeah, I don't know, man. She's got this presence about her that I can see that's like, I don't know. I think it's the Julia Child thing. That's what's sticking with me the most. Once Chrissy made that comparison,
they kind of look alike too.
Yeah, and
they do kind of look alike.
I can see her doing the mannerisms similarly, like moving her head around fast and shit while she's talking with the way that you're explaining her and stuff. So I'm definitely gonna have to check her out. But as far as like her business savviness and shit, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
The way she's handling that stuff is crazy, but she is a manipulative person.
Yep. And next week we'll get into the end of her life and some other things.
No,
yeah. I know I said it was going to be a 2-part series, but I forgot how much I'd written on this. So it's going to be 3 parts.
Shocker. Chaz did a lot of research, you guys.
Sorry.
Yay. No, don't apologize. Don't you dare apologize for that.
Well, next week, our old oral friend is going to step back into the story. That'll be fun.
Yeah,
I got a lot of oral friends.
Yeah, I got oral friends all over the country.
I'm talking about our listeners who hear me talk, you gross people.
That's what I was saying too.
Yeah.
All right,
we'll leave it there, guys.
I don't know. I'm a Christian, so my mind goes dirty a lot. Oh, I grew up a Christian. Oh shit, cat's out of the bag.
that's always one of my favorite jokes. I'm not even kidding you. When someone will, you know, like when I'm drunk or engaging in other recreational activities and someone says something to me, I'll be like, I went to Christian school. Of course I know where to find ecstasy.
All right, well, we'll leave it there. You can find us at xcompod.com. Please go to our Patreon. You can get the link there. Join our Discord for free. It's part of the Patreon. Come to our Discord server. Join us. Tell us your stories. Show us your pets. All that other stuff. Tell us your favorite music. Talk about the episodes that we did and all the other stuff. So that would be awesome.
Suggest things, ask questions, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. You can listen to my other podcast, The Holy Hour, where Gavin, Antonio, and I talk all things Cure related. And Donovan, do you have anything for us?
I want to say go watch Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated. It came out a few years ago, but is the best iteration of Scooby-Doo that has ever been created, and it has references to old Warner Brother IP in it and everything, and it's dark.
Very cool.
Every episode is connected. It's on Max right now.
Oh, okay.
It might be on Netflix too, but it's dark. It's funny. Like I said, every episode's connected. It's an actual story arc for 2 seasons. It's good. Check it out.
Awesome.
I love that. I don't really have much other than like I'm still working on that book series that I told you about last time we recorded.
Oh yeah.
Two whole days ago. I'm on like the 4th book now and it's getting really good.
Good.
So if you want something funny and lighthearted, but also interesting, I guess. I don't know. It's Dungeon Crawler Carl. Go read Dungeon Crawler Carl.
What's the name?
I know, me too.
and I'm going to tell everybody to go see Dune 2. It was amazing. I absolutely loved it. I think it's one of the best sci-fi, like both of them together, one of the best sci-fi movies in a while.
I still haven't watched the first one. I think we were waiting for the second one to come out, so we're probably going to watch them both soon.
I would advise to watch it with subtitles on.
Oh, I watched everything with subtitles.
Okay, I was going to say you get a lot more of the dialect, and you can get the words, and like if you need to, you can look them up to find out what they mean.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You mean shy halud is not like a normal thing that people say?
A Chris knife?
Yeah.
That's like a butter knife, right?
Yeah, a Jam Gabar.
Gom Jabar.
That's a bar that sells peanut butter and jelly.
The Gom Jibber?
Yeah. All right. Also, thank you to the band Iron Cheek for letting us use their song. Those heads are our heads. Please find them on all social media as Iron Cheek, C-H-I-C. And that's it.
Peace be with you.
And with your spirit.
Stop taking my money.
And everybody say, all right, guys.
I like my looks. I like my personality. You try and you make it work.